Well, today we're starting a new series, not a book from the Bible, but a topic. We're looking at Christian nuts and bolts, the basics, the foundations, the bedrock of what we believe as Christians and why Christianity is such good news. And it's a big topic, so we're really just going to sort of introduce ourselves to it, and I'm going to paint pretty broad brushstrokes over the next few weeks, and then hopefully in the years to come we can unpack it further and deeper. But before we look at anything else, I think the best place for us just to start tonight is by looking at humanity, looking at ourselves, because after all, ourselves is a topic that we know really quite a lot about, or do we? Back on Christmas Day, I received a gift, which was one of those little tins you buy, which tells you you've adopted something, and it was a Spitfire. Now, I knew you could sort of adopt things like pandas or blue whales and those sorts of things. I didn't realise you could adopt something like a Spitfire, but I suppose it's not a million miles, is it, from
you can pay for it.
You can pay, yeah. You know, helping an endangered animal to helping an endangered bit of machinery. But what about human beings? What about us? Perhaps we should have a little tin you can buy from W.H. Smith's to sort of, you know, adopt the endangered species of the human race. I mean, you know, after all, when you think about it, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. There's the issue of the global warming and the environment, which hopefully the G7 are going to be doing something about this week. There's issues like plastics. Remember, we were all getting very stressed and concerned about how much disposable plastic we were using, and then the pandemic struck and we needed PPE and disposable face masks and all those sort of things. We've quietly forgotten about that for a little bit. There's highly processed food, heart disease, Alzheimer's, cancer, not to mention our ability to destroy ourselves through things like knife crime or terrorism or even war. The odds seem to be stacked against us. But that's not as bad as it gets. I'm afraid that humanity faces an even worse peril, really the root of all the others, which is sin. That sounds like it's going to be a bit of a grim talk tonight, but if we're going to hear the bad news, we need to hear the bad news within its context, and the context is actually very good news. In lots of religions, humanity basically is created by chance, out of chaos, or just simply there to provide the whims, meet the whims of the gods that create them, to be sort of, you know, rent a slave. But actually, Christianity teaches us that the reality is quite different. If we sort of looked at those verses from Genesis, we'd see that it tells us that then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now that's incredible, isn't it? Genesis tells us that God created men and women in his image. The fine tuning of what that exactly means is left a little ambiguous. But the basic point is that we bear the image of God. God's nature, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his love, his compassion, his forgiveness, all can be seen in men and women and children and young men alike and young women alike. That's incredible, isn't it? It gives humanity immense dignity. And that image bearing, it's not an accident. That's what God intended to do. That's what God announces he's doing. It's not like having your father's eyes or your mother's sense of humour or your great, cousin Sydney's chin or whatever it is. God chose to create us in his image. And that really should be great, because if you carry on reading through the Bible, you find that it wasn't just the first people who bore the image of God. The psalmist tells us that God made us, all the generations to follow, a little lower than the angel, that he crowned us with glory and made us rulers of his works. Psalm 139 talks about how God personally knit us together in the womb. Humanity, every last man, woman, child, young person, is made in God's image to care for God's creation and to have a real personal living relationship with God, to know God, to love God, and to worship God. And that's great news. It's wonderful news. It's the sort of news that should put a smile on your face first thing in the morning when you wake up, before you get out of bed. And yet that's not our daily experience, is it, in the world? And the problem comes when we get to Genesis 3. Genesis 3 is where humanity decides that we know better than God, the creator of the universe, the creator of us, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah, what does he know? We can do it our own way. Get lost, God. That one little rebellion that is mentioned in Genesis 3. It's like if you want to have a modern context, you see all these people in their big hazmat suits with the pandemic. It's like a little tiny tear in the hazmat suit. And it lets all that virus of the rebellion against God, the deadly, all-infecting and all-consuming pathogen that is sin, get in. That sin has penetrated every aspect of every human. Quoting from the Psalms and Ecclesiastes, Paul writes in Romans 3, Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And that rebellion has got terrible consequences. Romans 3:23 spells out the truth that runs through the Bible. For the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God, the God of life, love, hope, justice, righteousness and joy. It's not that God's just punishing us for the sake of it. It's not that God is malicious. It's not that God is selfish or just not very nice. It's that our actions, our thoughts, our rebellion against God earn that eternity, the wages of sin. When we're busy sinning, we're earning the wages of sin. And that is that it demonstrates what we want, and we want an eternity without God. So we've got ourselves into a terrible mess. So as we begin this series, as we start to think about humanity, we need to take a good long look at ourselves. We need to do two things. The first thing we need to do is look at ourselves with wonder. We look with wonder because we see in ourselves beings that have been lovingly created by God to be in the image of our Creator. To live lives of dignity and honour, lives without racism or prejudice or hate or fear or anger or selfishness, etc. We're to love our neighbours as ourselves and to love our God most of all. We were made to be the very pinnacle of creation and to be unashamed that God has made us as such. And he has created again in Genesis, in those verses, we could see that God has created an amazing, perfect universe for us to live in. But we've spoilt that. You see, we are to look at ourselves with wonder, but then we're to look at ourselves and then wonder at how we could have thrown it all away. If we've turned our back on our perfect relationship with the perfect God, then we start to see that we've thrown away everything that goes with that. Our sin cuts us off from God, from his holy presence, and from the joy of eternity with him. And it not only corrupts us, it also corrupts the world that we live in. It makes the world that God made perfect not perfect anymore. Everything has the potential to be beautiful, but also when we look at it is to some degree broken, from nature to relationships. See, Christianity is such good news, as we're going to see, but to appreciate how amazingly good news it is, we need to recognise the bad news within which it's set, the context. Without recognising how incredibly we've been created, and then how far each one of us has fallen from that image of God in which we were made, God's intervention in the world just seems meaningless or rather quaint. Oh, God in a manger? Bless. Not when we see it in its context. How amazing to be knit together by God in the womb. How incredible to be made only a little lower than the angels. How awesome to bear the image of God. But how terrible to have rejected our holy Creator, sovereign God. The thing is, though, that although we've all abandoned God, our God has never abandoned us. as we'll see next week. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 is actually a wonderful verse when you read it in its entirety, because we've seen that the wages of sin is death. But when we read it as a whole verse, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But more on that next Sunday. Amen.